I'm so glad I was able to be here this morning for the graduation. What a wonderful thing that you shared. When you were sharing, Stuart and Duane, I thought about something. At our church at home, I'm from the States, from Idaho. We had a banner on our wall, and it said our mission was to be a family, a hospital, a school, and an army. And I took that from John Wimber. He said every church should be a family, a hospital, a school, and an army. And one evening, we had somebody teaching, and she pointed up at this banner on the wall, and she said, "This is the heart of God." And when she did that, this helium balloon in the shape of a heart just floated out of nowhere, and it went down the banner, and like it was putting exclamation points on the family, hospital, school, and army. And we all were just amazed, and the speaker was amazed, because no one knew where that heart balloon came from. It just floated in, right when she said, "This is the heart of God." And it is the heart of God. And Kevin and Carolyn, what you're doing, it's the heart of God. And what this church is doing, Freedom Church, it's the heart of God. It's the family. You mentioned the family. And it's a hospital. And it was a school. And then you said, "Now we're going to go out and we're going to give it away. And you're the army." You know, it's just, I love it. I love what you're doing here. I love what you're doing here. It is so the heart of God. And I shared at the seminar, I know many of you weren't here, but at the seminar I shared Dr. Gabor Mate, who's a medical doctor, and he works with people that are addicted on the streets of Vancouver, Canada. And he said, "I never ask why the addiction." He said, "I always ask why the pain." And you both talked about dealing with your pain. And then I also mentioned at the seminar a man named Johan Hari, who has one of the most watched TED Talks. And he says in his TED Talk, he says, "Everything that you know about addiction is wrong." And then he goes on to say that the antidote to addiction is connection. And that's also what I heard in your testimony. It was the love. It was the connection. And it's so healing. And so you guys are just, you're doing such good work here. And I just feel so privileged to be here and to be a part of the graduation this morning. So my name's Carrie Browning, and I'm from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where I was a pastor for 18 years. And about 6 years ago, we made a transition into being a healing and creativity center. And a lot of that involves me traveling and sharing on releasing toxic emotions. And I do personal sessions at home, too. I have an office there where people come, actually from all over the world, come to Coeur d'Alene to receive healing. And I love what I do. I just absolutely love it. And I'm so blessed that people in this church have gone through my training course, and it's just multiplying. And there's several people that were here this weekend that want to go through the course. And my heart is to raise up an army of healers, because we all need healing. And I want to share something with you. For years, when I was a pastor, I had three flags on my desk. These three flags. When I went to Canada a couple years ago to share on what I'm sharing now, on releasing toxic emotions, my course was birthed in Canada. It was the First Nation that invited me when I made this transition to doing what I am doing now. And then last year at this time, I was in South Africa, and I'd had the flag of South Africa on my desk. And I'd actually been to South Africa 9 times before, but this last year was the first time that I went to teach on releasing toxic emotions. And I was there for a month in South Africa, and I did several seminars, and I did personal sessions with people. And I love the nation of South Africa. And the other flag I had on my desk was the flag of the United Kingdom. And then I met Valtraut online and talked to her and Becky online, and they invited me to come here. And then I remembered those were the three flags that I had on my desk all those years. The flags that were in my heart, the nations that were in my heart, and those were the nations that God opened up to me to bring this message of releasing toxic emotions. And I use essential oils when I release toxic emotions. And there's a scripture in Revelation 22:2 that says, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And the essential oils are made up of the leaves of the tree. It's for the healing of the nations. And I believe that's why I'm here. And I just love that God sent me to Canada, South Africa, and now the United Kingdom. And my prayer for all of us, and I pray this prayer often for myself, and I pray it for you. It was a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church in Philippi. He said, so this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. That's my prayer, that we would not only love much, but well. It says in 1 Timothy 1:5 that the goal of our instruction is love. And I heard you guys say that in your testimony about the love that you have felt here. And that's the whole goal of the Christian life, isn't it? Is to grow and mature in love. And unfortunately, many people aren't loving in the church because they have hurts. Years ago, a friend of mine heard God speak to him audibly, and he said, my people don't have faults. They have needs. And that's what I heard you say, Caroline. My people don't have faults, they have needs. And we act in childish ways because we were traumatized as children. And many of us get stuck in those childhood places. And we need help to get unstuck. And that's what we're all about, and that's what you're about here, helping people come into freedom. So the title of my message this morning is called The Voice of the Sign. I've already shared a couple signs with you, those flags on my desk. You know, those were a sign to me. The helium balloon, that was a sign. And for years, God has spoken to me in signs. I'm going to give a scripture for this. We always want a good scripture, don't we? Exodus 4:8. This was what God said to Moses. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe you, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, then they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And the sign has a voice. The sign speaks. And for years, God has spoken to me in signs in the natural. Now, he doesn't speak to everyone that way. We all hear differently, don't we? But that's how he speaks to me, is through signs in the natural. And everyone thought I was so weird, including my husband, you know? And but in 1995, right before we started our church, I went to Kansas City. And on the way, on the airplane, I said to my friend, I have a hard time believing the things God tells me, so he gives me signs in the natural. And much like Gideon in Judges 6, remember Gideon? God came and spoke to him and said, you're a mighty man of valor. And he said, I'm the least of my family. And, you know, he couldn't believe that God was going to use him the way he did. And he asked for a sign. He said, if that's really you, God, give me a sign. And then he asked for another sign. And that's how I've been. Just like Gideon, Judges 6. But I said that to my friend on the plane, and I got to the meeting. And a man named Larry Bowles, who was heading up their ministry team, came over to me. He didn't know me. And he said, I have a word for you. He said, because you have such a hard time believing the things God tells you, he's going to give you signs in the natural. He said, you're going to ask for one, and you're going to get two. You're going to ask for two, and you're going to get four. You're going to ask for four, and you're going to get eight. And after that, it exponentially increased. I started getting signs. I was like on sign overload. Sometimes I would just go, sign overload. And it just really released me in the way that I hear God. So that was in 1995. In 2000, we invited someone to come speak at a conference on February 12, 2000. And that person wasn't able to come. And he said, I can't come, but I would recommend that Sean Bowles come. So this was 18 years ago. Some of you might know Sean Bowles. He's quite well known. He moves very much in the word of knowledge, in the prophetic. But this was 18 years ago. Sean was just a young guy. He was 28 years old. Here's a picture of Sean. He was much younger. I should have put the picture up of when he first came. He had such a baby face. This is Sean 18 years later. But I knew Larry Bowles, who gave me that word, was Sean's father. I said, oh, he's Larry's son. Yes, we'll have him. And it was for such divine purposes, such divine purposes. Sean came on February 12, 2000, and he spoke on identity, and he also released the artists. This was 18 years ago when I didn't know of any other churches that were painting in the church, but we had easels set up, and we had artists painting, and we had the artists bring their paintings, and we were releasing that creativity. And so Sean came in February 2000, and that year I got an invitation, my first invitation to go to South Africa. And I ended up going on April 18th, 4/18/2000. And I want you to remember that date, because you're going to see that date as a thread throughout my whole story. And it's Luke 4:18, about setting the captives free, proclaiming freedom to the captives, preaching the gospel to the poor, healing the brokenhearted. So I was invited to South Africa. I didn't even know why they invited me. They actually had invited Harold Eberle, but Harold couldn't go, and he recommended me. And the title of the conference was Moving Into the Apostolic. And 18 years ago, I didn't know anything about the apostolic, really. And not very many people did. Now there's lots of books on the apostolic, but back then there wasn't a lot of information. But I felt I got a sign. I felt like I was supposed to go. And so I accepted. And before I went, we had a training center. And I had shared publicly at our training center that Bob Jones said that feathers were falling in meetings in the United States, and that it was a sign. And that it was a sign that God was looking for a resting place, that he was going to take the feathers and make a feather pillow out of it. And he was looking for a resting place. And I shared that publicly. Then I went to South Africa, and the very first meeting that I spoke at, it was a theater. They had converted into a church, and there was a balcony. And I was speaking, and all these feathers started falling. Lots and lots and lots of feathers, just like that picture. And they were falling from the balcony. I thought it was looked like it was snowing. It was like so much. And I asked the children that were up in the balcony, I said, it didn't even occur to me that it was spiritual. Even though I had shared before I left publicly that this was happening, I thought the children were throwing feathers down from the balcony. But it was supernatural. Not everyone saw it. At least a dozen people did. And when I got the video, you could see some on the video. But when people went to pick them up, there was nothing there. And it was in the spirit. But it was a sign. And the sign has a voice. And remember what Bob Jones said, God was looking for a resting place. And I believe that all of these things are signs and that they have a message. And when the true apostolic, which is, I believe, spiritual mothers and fathers, is restored, we're going to have rest. That was part of the sign. Well, it was also on April 18th, and I shared this story about Anna Kane, Paul Kane's mother, because Anna Kane had died when she was 105 years old on 4/18, at 4/18, and she had come out of a coma And her last words to her son, Paul, was, Luke 4:18, Paul, for you and the world. And then she died. And Mike Bickle had recorded the time she died, but never put it together until later that it was 4:18, at 4:18. And her last words were Luke 4:18. I shared that story in South Africa 18 years ago. Then I came home, and the next year, and I was ruined. Once you experience the glory realm, it's really hard to go back to normal church. And how I explain the glory realm, and I got this from Bob Sorge, is the glory realm is when God manifests to one of your five senses. You either smell, touch, taste, see, or hear. And that is the glory realm. And I was ruined because not only did the feathers fall, but we also experienced a lot of other glory manifestations. And so I came back to Coeur d'Alene. And in June 2001, I received a prophetic word from Sean Bowles. He emailed it to me. Now, remember, Sean's just a young man at this time. And he was in Kansas City, and he was actually playing a video game when this happened. He was playing a video game, and all of a sudden, the video game disappears, and he sees an open vision. And he sees these geologists and seismologists coming to our area because there had just been earthquakes, and they were coming to study the fault lines. And then he heard an audible voice, and God spoke to him audibly and said, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken in the Pacific Northwest where we live. And he said, I'm going to pour out my power there, and it's going to go out throughout the world. So Sean emails me this word. And at the time, we had a Bible school, and it was meeting, one of our classes was meeting in the original John G. Lake building. Do you guys know who John G. Lake was? He was a healer, and he lived in our area for many years. He started the healing rooms. And during the ministry of John G. Lake, the mayor of Spokane declared Spokane the healthiest city in the world because there was 100,000 documented healings. He'd also established many churches in South Africa. But anyway, we were meeting in the original John G. Lake building. And I read the prophecy. It was the Rookery building. I read the prophecy from Sean. It was June 24th, 2001. No one was expecting earthquakes. We're not an area known for earthquakes. And the next day, there was three earthquakes. And they centered under that building. The news was reporting outside the building the very next day. And that building actually got torn down because the sidewalk collapsed underneath it because of the earthquakes. But Sean had already prophesied to Cal Pierce that they were going to move to another building, which they did. And I knew, you know, it was a sign, and the sign speaks. The sign was, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken, and I'm going to pour out my power there, and it's going to go out throughout the world. I turned on the news, and the news is saying the exact words that were in Sean's prophecy. We're sending geologists and seismologists over from the Seattle area because there's so much underground activity going on. The exact words. I was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. Then, because of that, Sean started coming every month the next year in 2002. He would fly in every month from Kansas City and do a prophetic seminar for us. And at the end of that year, something really dramatic happened. We did a conference at the end of that year with Paul Keith Davis and Patricia King. And somebody put a real Rolex watch in the offering. They're very expensive, thousands of dollars. And it was a genuine one, not a counterfeit one. And we prayed about it, and we felt like we should give it to Sean because he'd been coming every month and to sew it into Sean. We didn't know that a young boy had had a dream and had told Sean right before he came, or had actually told his dad, and his dad had told Sean that he had a dream that Sean was given a Rolex watch. And he wanted his dad to buy Sean a Rolex watch. And his dad was very wealthy, but he didn't. And but in the dream, the little boy was told, you'll be able to tell new time when you get this watch. And so Sean hadn't told us that. So we gave him the watch. And then afterwards, we had a round table, and we had about 100 leaders from the Northwest that gathered for this round table. And Sean, it was at this camp, and Sean had a room, and the rooms had locks on them, and the only person that had access to Sean's room was Sean. And he went back to his room after this round table, and there was all this change all over his room. And he called Paul Keith Davis and myself, and he said, come to my room. Something really odd has happened. And we walked in, and there's all this change scattered over in his room. And Paul Keith Davis had the interpretation. He said, it means change. We need to change. Well, we added up the change. It was American change. We added up the change, and it added up to $3.03 in American money. And so we stretched the sign, and we said, let's do another conference on March 3rd, 303. And so the next year was March 3rd, 2003, 333. So we decided we're going to do this big conference on 333. We invited all of these prophets, Bob Jones and Bobby Connor and just several, Ray Hughes, we invited a lot of people. And we were doing this, going to do this big event. And we put these signs together, and we thought God was speaking to us, it's time for change. The watch, it's time. Change, it's time for change. And we were going to do a conference on March 3rd, 2003. Well, right after this happened, Benny Hinn was on TBN. And this was in November 2002. Now, we have this conference planned for 333, March 3rd, 2003. Benny Hinn's on this Christian television show, and he starts prophesying. He said, God's speaking to me right now. He's speaking in my ear. He's telling me something. He's telling me there's a change coming, a mighty change. He's telling me when. I'm hearing it in my ear right now. It's March 3rd. And when we heard that, we were like, whoa, we really hit this, didn't we? So we did this conference, March 3rd, 2003. All the supernatural things happened. And there was a word that this conference in Coeur d'Alene would be one of a trilogy. And the third conference, and I went to all three of them, was in Louisiana, and it was on 418. Now remember this date. It's the Luke 418 mandate. And we told the story again of Anna Cain, that she had died on 418, at 418. With her last words being Luke 4:18. So that was in 2003. Well, in 2006, we started having dreams and visions about it being time. And so we brought everybody back that came in 2003, which was quite a feat in itself to get them all back on the exact date on March 3rd, 2006. And so we did another conference and we called it It's Time, Releasing Apostolic Power. And at that conference, Bob Jones prophesied. He said, the heavens have opened over Coeur d'Alene, and there's going to be a sign in the natural. Again, a sign in the natural to confirm that the heavens have opened. And that was in March 2006. And then in June, on Pentecost weekend, this fire rainbow appeared over our city, and it made international news. Because it's so rare. It was in the National Geographic, and it made international news. And it was Pentecost weekend. And I knew that that in itself was a sign. And after that, we started having all kinds of glory manifestations happen in our church. Gemstones started appearing. People started getting covered in gold. And there were all kinds of manifestations of the glory realm. And people came from all over the world to our little church. We were about the size of your church. And people came from all over the world because God was pouring out his spirit. But unfortunately, because of heart issues, I believe it got shut down. And that's part of the story, is I believe that God is working on heart issues. But in 2007, I'm going to tell you another sign. Are you guys all tracking with me? Okay, following the voice of the sign. In 2007, I I went to New Zealand with Joshua Mills and his wife, Janet. And we did a conference, and it was wonderful. And Joshua was speaking at the church on Sunday morning, and he was preaching out of Luke 17 about the lepers being healed. And as he was preaching out of Luke 17, he had his hand in the air. You can see him there. And his hand filled with blood. And then the blood turned into bright red glory dust. I watched it with my own eyes happen. And the woman sitting next to me started having oil pour out of her hands. Just lots and lots of oil started pouring out of her hands, which, again, I believe there's a message in the sign. Went into the pastor's office with Joshua and Janet after the service, which God just came in a mighty way. People got saved and healed in that service. And I went into the pastor's office, and I got some tape so that I could get some of the glory dust and put it in my Bible on Luke 17, the passage he'd been preaching out of. And I still have it to this day. But he told, they were both weeping. And they told me that they had come from Arizona, where they had been at A.A. Allen's camp meeting place. A.A. Allen was a healing evangelist in the latter rain. He's passed away, but they were on his land where he had had a supernatural school and ministry. And this angel had appeared to Joshua and had told him that this was going to happen, that he was going to start to get the blood sign, and it had to do with Passover. And so this was the first time it had manifested, and they were just weeping. And then the oils, I believe, you know, there was a sign in that too. But let me tell you that after this happened with Joshua, and he was preaching out of Luke 17, a couple weeks later, I was reading in Leviticus that the healing of leprosy was blood and oil. He was preaching out of Luke 17 in the New Testament about the healing of the lepers. So do you see the sign? It's not either or, it's both and. I believe we need the power of the blood, the communion, but we also need the oil. It's not either or, it's both and. It was a sign. And also during that trip, Joshua was in his room, and he had had a ring that had been given to him. It was an inheritance ring for his son, and it had been stolen in Phoenix, and somebody had taken it out of his hotel room, and he was just sick over it because this ring was very expensive, and it was a gift, his inheritance ring for his son. So he was on his bed in New Zealand, and he went into a vision. And he saw this, he saw the house of the person who stole the ring. And he made a conscious decision to go into the vision. And he picked up the ring. And when he came out of the vision, he was holding it in the natural. And again, he came down. His wife, Janet, had been speaking that morning. He came down, and they were both weeping again. And again, I knew it was a sign. His son's name is Lincoln. And I believe that we're going to go and take back what the enemy has stolen. You know, it's our inheritance, taking it back. There was a message in the sign. And then when I got home, I started reading this book called The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. And in this book, she said, during the Azusa Street revival and the Latter Rain revival, the greatest revelation was the revelation of the blood. And she said it was, you know, it's been lost, and it's going to be restored, which is, hopefully you can track with me. Lincoln, who it was his inheritance ring that had been stolen, Abraham Lincoln in the United States, he was actually born on February 12th, and he died on April 14th. And she said the revelation of the blood was from the Latter Rain revival and the Azusa Street revival. Well, the Latter Rain revival started on February 12th, and the Azusa Street revival started on April 14th. The same date, you know, of his son being Lincoln. Do you get it? I know it's sometimes my husband's like, but what does it mean? What does it mean? And there's actually a scripture, Acts 2:12. Amazed and perplexed, they said, but what does it mean? So I always try to explain what it means because not everyone goes there. But basically what it means is God is going to restore the revelation of the blood. It's our inheritance, and it's been stolen like so many things. And I know this church is about the restoration of all things. Okay, so that was 2007. In 2009, I went to Durban, South Africa. It was the last time I've seen the glory realm. It was in 2009, 9 years ago. I'd seen it quite often, but that was the last time. And I was in a service, Paul Keith Davis and Joanne McFadder and Randy Demain and myself. Paul Keith and Joanne had left. We had just got done with the conference, and we had one more service. And it was the Day of Atonement, 2009. And I believe that God does things on festival dates. He did that all throughout the Bible. He still does. And it was the Day of Atonement. Randy Demain said, bring your sick tonight because God's going to heal them. And that was unusual for Randy to just make a declaration like that. And so we were in the meeting, the Day of Atonement, 2009, Durban, South Africa, and a glory cloud came into the room. We all saw it. You know, it was a real cloud that came in the room. And all these people got healed. And it even literally rained in the meeting. And if you know about the Day of Atonement, that was the day that the cloud hovered over the mercy seat. The one day that the priest could see the glory was on the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. So again, there's a message in the sign. And they had to go in through the blood. And so what happened in the meeting was I had been to this church before, and they had two worship leaders. One, his name is Ricky. He pastors the church now, and another one named Sheldon. And they both got crowns in their teeth in the meeting. One got a gold crown, and one got a silver crown. And because I'd seen some counterfeit manifestations, I asked them afterwards, I said, Ricky, are you sure? Are you really sure that you didn't have that before? He said, Mrs. Browning, I'm positive. He said, I've never had a filling in my life. And he opened his mouth, and it was all white teeth except this one really shiny gold crown. And then the other worship leader, I asked him the same question. And he said, Mrs. Browning, I have an appointment on Wednesday to go get this tooth filled. And he had a silver, shiny crown. He said, I'm positive I didn't have this before. And the Lord spoke to me. And he spoke the scripture to me. He said, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Haggai 2:8 and 9. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. The sign speaks. It has a voice. And the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. And I haven't seen it since. And I believe that God, the reason I haven't seen it is God has been working on our hearts. Because when we had the outpouring in 2006, all people's heart issues manifested. There was competition and jealousy, and people were counterfeiting it, and, you know, to promote their ministry, and it was ugly. It got really ugly, and I got very disillusioned, because once you've seen the real, you don't want the counterfeit. So that was in 2009. In 2010, I was speaking at a conference called The Voice of the Prophets, and Paul Kane was there. Now, it was his mom, Anna Kane, that died on 418 at 418, with her last words being Luke 418. And Paul's story is when he was in the womb, his mother had terminal diseases, and they told her that she wasn't going to live. But an angel came to her and said that she would not die, she would live, and she would have a son, and he would preach the gospel like the Apostle Paul. And so she was instantly healed. Paul was born. And even as a young man, he had a gift of word of knowledge, just much like what Sean Bowles is walking in now, Paul Kane, that was Paul Kane's gift. He would call people out in meetings. He would tell you your name, your birth date, what you ate for breakfast, you know, things like that, and then give you the word of the Lord. And so he also had a healing ministry. He had a big tent as a young man. And he was told that his mother wouldn't die until he stood before the end time ministry. Well, his mom lived to 105. So I was with Paul in 2010, and his assistant, he didn't know my story. I just met him, but he said, "I feel like Paul's supposed to be with you on 418 this year." And we already had an event planned 2 weeks prior that we called Changing Church. And then we had a speaker the next week, and I was like, "Oh, we have so much going on, but you know, this is so much a part of our history, this 418, that yes, we will do this." And so we did a conference called the Luke 418 Mandate, and it was the 20-year anniversary of when Paul's mother, Anna Kane, had died on 418. And prior to that conference, so that was in January, in March, we're going to do this conference on 418, Alex has a dream. Alex, in the dream, he goes to a change machine, and he puts in a $10 bill. And out of the machine came 7 coins. And they were, I'll show you a picture of them. This is what they look like. We have these coins in the United States. They're Sacagawea dollars. And so out of the change machine, he puts in the $10 bill in the dream. Out of the change machine comes these 7 coins. And when he woke up from the dream, he's holding the coins in his hand. They manifested in the natural. I don't know Alex very well. This is in March 2010. And so Alex calls me because the Holy Spirit speaks to Alex and says, "The message is in the coin. Call Carrie Browning." So he calls me, and I said, "Oh my gosh." I said, "When Paul came here in 2007, somebody gave me a private word that I was like Sacagawea." And I hadn't told anyone. But I had gone and got a book on her life and a video on her life, and I hadn't told anyone. So I knew this was God. And the message was in the coin. You can see it says Liberty. And she carried her baby on her back. She was, I know you guys don't know American history, probably, but she was the one that led the Lewis and Clark expedition in the Pacific Northwest. She was their guide. And she carried her baby on her back during that expedition. And her baby's name was John Baptiste. Do you get the message in the sign? John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord. And there's so much message in the coin, I can't go into it because of time. But Alex had the dream on March 23rd. I'm really into dates. And at the time, we're called Revolution Church. And I read that Patrick Henry, do you guys know about Patrick Henry? Okay, it's connected here with England. It has to do with the Revolutionary War that happened. But Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death," on March 23rd, 1775. Alex had the dream on March 23rd. And that was part of what started the Revolutionary War. And we were called Revolution Church at the time, which was very interesting because we were doing this conference on 418. 2 days before the conference, somebody sends me an email and says, "Do you know that the Revolutionary War started at midnight on 418. I didn't know that. Because that's the night that Paul Revere made his midnight ride on April 18th. And then the shot that was heard around the world happened on April 19th. And it began the Revolutionary War. And we are called Revolution Church. But going back to the 418, the Luke 418 mandate, this is Luke 418. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That's what you guys are doing here. This is why I'm sharing this message. This is for you. You're doing the Luke 4:18 mandate. This is the change that was to come to the world. Luke 4:18, proclaiming good news to the poor. And Jesus said, he sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Just what you guys were saying today. Freedom. Freedom for the prisoners. And recovery of sight for the blind. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The message is in the coin. Liberty. And again, we were Revolution Church. And we were proclaiming that there's going to be a love revolution. And revolution means sudden, momentous change. And we had a banner at that conference that said change with a butterfly, because the butterfly represents change and transformation, which is what your logo is here. And it means sudden, momentous change. It also means an overthrow of one government for another. And the government of love is being established right now. The government of tyranny is being overthrown, and the government of love and freedom is what is being established. And the revolution starts in the heart. It starts in our hearts. Our hearts have to be healed. And that's why I love what you're doing here, because not only are you ministering to the poor, but you're healing hearts. And we need, that's the Luke 4:18 mandate. It's healing the hearts and proclaiming. And I'm going to play a little video. We tried to play this at the seminar, and the volume wasn't working. But this is such a good video of how our hearts get hurt. We get hurt in life. Our hearts get poked, and we need healers. And this is such a good illustration of it.
My mom told me it was wiggling, not raining.
Mom, my mom said it is raining.
It's swiggling outside, Macy.
Mom, Mommy
it's
said...
It's raining. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, you're pretty. And you're not real. I'm real.
It's just raining.
Ow!
It's just raining.
Little Clay.
It's raining.
You broke my heart.
Little Clay.
You broke my heart.
Yeah. You broke my heart.
Isn't that sweet? We all get our hearts poked. And I love that little girl, she was a healer here. She laid hands on him here. And, you know, we all get hurt and we get our hearts poked. And I got so disillusioned in the ministry. After that Luke 4:18 conference, we had a huge church split. My best friend split the church. Thought she was my best friend. Mass exodus. I was so hurt. It was so painful. But it launched me into what I'm doing now. And for that, I'm grateful. And so after I started doing what I'm doing now, and share this last sign, I was on my way to Canada to speak on releasing toxic emotions. And I had read this book called Hope for the Flowers. Has anybody ever read this book? This book is a parable, and it's a classic. You can order it on Amazon. But it's about these caterpillars that are all on this pile, and they're just pushing and shoving, trying to get to the top. And when they get to the top, they realize there's nothing up there. But one gets off, and she becomes a butterfly. And it's a yellow butterfly. She becomes a yellow butterfly. And there's such a message in that parable. You know, we're all like pushing and shoving, trying to get to the top. And when we get to the top, there's nothing up there. And that's how I felt in ministry. I always thought, oh, if I can just travel with all these guys and do all these things, then I'll, you know, be fulfilled. Let me tell you, there was nothing up there. And I realized that. And I was actually grateful that I got pushed out of the system, because I love what I'm doing now. I love it. So I was on my way to Canada, and I said, God, if you allowed all of that hurt and all of that pain to happen just so that I could be doing what I'm doing now, Let me see a yellow butterfly. Gideon, you know, again, let me see a sign. Let me see a yellow butterfly. I get to the house where I'm staying, and they have a little boy named Isaac. And Isaac comes into my room right when I arrive, and he hands me a yellow butterfly that he had just made out of construction paper. Yeah, I was undone. I was undone. It's all about transformation. The butterfly has to go through a real process, doesn't it, to be transformed. I have a little saying on my refrigerator. It says, just when the caterpillar thought his life was over, he became a butterfly. And you guys, it's your time to fly now. You know, you've been through the transformation process, and it's time to fly. And so this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. I realize the change that needs to happen is love. That's the change. It's the Luke 4:18 mandate. It's the liberty. It's the freedom. It's preaching the gospel to the poor. It's heart healing. That's the change. And so I just commend you on what you're doing. You're fulfilling Luke 4:18, this new breed of ministry that Paul Cain was told that his mother wouldn't die until he stood before the new breed. I believe that you're part of this new breed, and actually I believe that this church will be a prototype and a model for others. I was telling Deb that I travel a lot, and I don't see places that are doing what you're doing here. Ministering to the poor, and also doing the heart healing. It's the Luke 4:18 mandate. It's the change. It's the change. And this is going to be a resting place. And this is going to be a place where God manifests his glory. God showed me back in South Africa, the four keys to the glory are worship, intercession, unity, and sacrifice. And then he gave me a scripture, 2 Chronicles 5. And in the temple in the Old Testament, all those four things were present. They were praying. They were worshiping. They were all in one accord. And they had made a sacrifice. And it says the glory came, and they couldn't even stand. So God had already shown me those were the four keys. Then he gave me the scripture to confirm it. And I believe that as you go forward here with the heart healing, that there is going to be such a unity that's going to be here. And you're already making the sacrifice. And the worship, which we're going to go into, and the prayer, God will manifest his glory here. I believe that. And you are doing the heart of God here. And it's all about transformation. It's all about liberty. It's all about freedom. So I just bless you. Thank you, Mike and Deb, for hosting me, and all of those, Becky and Valtrout and everybody else that was been a part of bringing me here. I just feel so connected here, and I love you. Thank you so much for letting me come.
Say now, really, that's just awesome. I just for those of us here, let's just be really encouraged, because sometimes it's pretty tough, and I think probably as I look around, it's a pretty tough time for most people here, but actually God's got us, he's for us, and just let's just surrender and allow him to do the transformation that he needs to do so that we can fully come into everything that he has for us. So I feel quite emotional, so I'm going to stop now. And then if we could invite the musicians.